Well, let's pray once more as we come to God's word together. Father God, we praise you that we can meet together this evening in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, assured of that victory and of what it means for us. And we thank you that you speak to us in that context of victory. You speak to us to reassure us and to encourage us and to challenge us to live in the light of that victory that is ours in our precious Saviour. And we ask that this evening we would hear you speaking to us and that we would be able to celebrate together that victory that is ours in him. Amen. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. Imagine for a moment that you're the Apostle John, and you're on the island that's called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Those of you who are here this morning will recognize the scene. We're in Revelation chapter 1, and John has been exiled there because of him preaching and believing the word of God. And he's in need of some encouragement for himself and some encouragement to pass on to the churches that are facing pressures of different kinds. And in that situation, you're there as the Apostle John, in need of encouragement, and you get this vision of Jesus Christ who appears to you and says to you, John, don't worry. Que sera, sera. Maybe he sings it. Whatever will be, I won't sing it. Whatever will be. The future's not yours to see. Que sera, sera. I think those words would perhaps be a bit underwhelming in the context. And I praise Jesus that those aren't the words that he spoke to John when he met him on the island that's called Patmos, and not the words that we hear him speaking to us as we hear him in the scriptures. But instead, he said the words that Gwyn will put behind me on the screen. He said, "Fear not, I'm the first and the last and the living one." I'm the first and the last and the living one, that the Bible doesn't point us to an uncertain future and just tell us to deal with it, que sera, sera, but that the Bible points us to a certain Lord and invites us to trust him. We were thinking this morning about looking ahead to 2019 and June the 12th in particular, and the uncertainty of what's going to happen, of what lies ahead. So many things uncertain, but we don't know what's going to happen in our nation, in our church, in our individual lives. But the confidence we can have as we trust this dazzlingly glorious Jesus that's revealed to us in Revelation chapter 1. Read it later if you weren't with us. This glorious, majestic Jesus with power and authority who comes and says, do not fear. Who comes and says that he's a living one who died and is alive forevermore. As we trust him, the one who keeps his people safe, even through death, into eternity. And I want us this evening to think about the good news of these words in particular. To go a bit further and think about the good news of these words in particular, and in particular, where Jesus says, I am the first and the last. Because those words aren't words that Jesus just came up with when he was on the island appearing in this vision. They're not words that he just came up with there on the spot. They're words that have a bit of a history. There are a number of times where the Lord spoke to his people through the prophet Isaiah and said, I am the first and the last. And also said at the same time, fear not. And as Jesus speaks, I think he wants his people to make the connection with what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. And when you get home later, you can read Isaiah chapters 41 and 44 and 48. and see these words, I'm the first and the last, fear not. But this evening I want us to look at a different chapter where we don't get the exact phrase, I'm the first and the last, but we get the same kind of idea, and we definitely get the words, fear not. We've just sung words based on this chapter, Isaiah chapter 43. And Gwyn will put up the page numbers on the screen, page 729 in the Church Bible or 1098 in the large print Bible. And I'll read the first, I said 13 verses, I'm actually the first 15 verses of Isaiah chapter 43. And then we'll think about these words with the words of Jesus Christ in our minds. Fear not, I'm the first and the last and the living one. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honoured, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Bring out the people who are blind yet have eyes, who are deaf yet have ears. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Let them bring their witnesses to prove them right, and let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Saviour. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there is no strange God among you. And you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. Also, henceforth I am he. There is none who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can turn it back? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans in the ships in which they rejoice. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. So we'll think a bit about some of those words, and we'll also think about the words of Jesus that Gwyn will put back on the screen behind me. Those words from Revelation 1, where Jesus says to John and to us, fear not, I'm the first and the last and the living one. And if we know Jesus as the first and the last, if we know him as the first and the last and the living one, I think there are two significant things we can say about the future. With everything else that's uncertain and unknown and we're unsure about, two significant things we can say about the future if Jesus is the first and the last. And the first is this: he'll be there. Whatever the future holds, he'll be there. There's a unique glory of the God that we know and this Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, this uniqueness of this God from everlasting to everlasting, this one who is the first and the last. In Isaiah, one of the big things that keeps coming up is this contrast between idols and the true and living God. We had that a short while ago here on a Sunday morning and evening as well, where we looked at Isaiah 46, and the God who carries his people, unlike the idols who are carried, who are a burden to their people. Some of you may remember that. We have this contrast between the idols and the true and living God. The idols that are made, but the true God who is not made, who is the Creator himself. The idols that are here at one point and then gone. Then the true God who is eternal. The one who before him no God was formed. Verse 10 of Isaiah 43. And there will be no God after him. From everlasting to everlasting you are God, says Psalm 90. So Christ says he is the first and the last. At the end of Revelation he says the same. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. That where these other idols, these other things that we could trust, they come and they go. They have a starting point and an end point, that this God, this Lord, has real staying power. He is eternal. He is reliable. He is the ever-present Lord. Whatever the future holds, he'll be there with and for his people, the first and the last. And when we go through challenging times, there's a question that we might ask. I found myself asking this at certain points in my life. We go through difficult times and we ask, well, how long is this going to last? Have you ever found yourself asking that? Maybe you're asking it even this evening. Not specifically about this sermon, but... But we ask, in actually challenging times, how long is this going to last? I remember asking that with the challenge of the sleeplessness of having a newborn baby, and night after night it's the same and you can't see an end in sight, and you say, how long is this going to last? And I remember being in hospital feeling constantly nauseated all day, every day, day after day, no end in sight. How long is this going to last? You know that question, how long is this going to last? And a short answer that comes back is this. How long is it going to last? Not as long as Jesus. He is the first and the last, the eternal one, the one who lasts into eternity. The one who now, as a man, conquered death, alive forevermore, seated at the right hand of God, this God-man who came and died for us and is alive forevermore for us. The one who is eternally with us, and as a man who walked on this earth, able to sympathize with our weaknesses, whatever we go through, whatever challenges we face. The first seven verses of Isaiah 43, we get this big message. Fear not, I am with you. Fear not, I am with you. Fear not, I am with you. And we can have that confidence because he is the first and the last, from eternity to eternity, that he will be with us, whatever we go through in the future, however long it lasts. If we're going through any kind of trial or challenge or pressure, he will be with us, whether through the waters or the rivers or the fire, whatever image comes to our minds, he will be with us. And when those trials and challenges are but a distant memory, he'll be there with us, for us to enjoy him forever. Not that we really deserve to have that kind of divine presence with us through our lives and into eternity. We deserve to be separated from God for eternity. But this living one who came, lived for us, died for us, and rose again for us, so we can be assured of his presence with us forever, the first and the last. If our life philosophy is que sera, sera, then when we go through dark times, we look ahead, all we will see is darkness, surely. We'll just see the darkness as far as eyes can see. If we know Jesus, we can know something of being lifted up to see the perspective of heaven, where we see, well, here is our trial, and here is Jesus. First and the last. putting things into perspective as we know him. Not that the Bible ever kind of belittles our trials and says, what are you complaining about? This isn't anything serious. It recognizes that what we go through, these things are painful and hard and challenging, but we have a wonderful Lord who is with us. We see how great he is, even in the most painful and dark times. He's the one to trust. When things are wonderfully good, when things are terribly, painfully hard, we trust him, the first and the last. And as we keep trusting him, the first and the last, the one who is from eternity to eternity, the one who will be with us whatever comes our way. And the more and more we can learn that we don't need to be so burdened by the worries of tomorrow or the day after. It's very easy, isn't it, to be burdened by worries of tomorrow. But the more we see that Jesus is the first and the last who will be with us, the more we can learn to trust, to enjoy knowing him, to enjoy serving him, and to look ahead with confidence into the future, what he has in store for us. For most of us, it's probably the case that at some point during 2019, we'll have something that will keep us up at night. And I don't know what goes through your mind when you're kept up at night by some kind of problem or some kind of issue. Probably a variety of things, some helpful, some not so helpful. And it may be that it would be good to have these words in our minds for those times, when we're aware of the pressures and challenges in our lives, to remember who Jesus is, the first and the last and the living one. You could even write these words on a card, put it under your pillow, so that when you're awake, you take them out to remember who he is, our certain Lord who we can trust. So lots that we don't know about the future, 2019, what will it hold? Lots we don't know, but one thing we can say is that he'll be there. Whatever point in the future we choose, he'll be there. But a second thing that we can say about the future, if Jesus is the first and the last, that he'll make it happen. Another thing about the future, not only will he be there, he'll make it happen. If you read later on, Isaiah 41, 43, 44, and 48, one of the things you'll see when God is described as the first and the last is the Lord being presented as the Lord of history. He's saying that he is the Lord of history. He's over all world rulers and all world events. If he wants to see something happen, it will happen. If he makes promises, they will come to pass. If he gives warnings, his warnings are to be taken seriously. That he is the Lord of history. Here Jesus is saying, yes, that's me. I am the first and the last. I am the Lord of history. We get a bit of that in Isaiah 43, where, for example, in verse 13... the Lord says, well, I work, and who can turn it back? What I say comes to pass. And again, in verse 14, he addresses Israel and speaks about Babylon, the people who take God's people captive. Well, he says, for your sake, I send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives. This world power is nothing in comparison to the Lord of history. When Jesus says, I'm the first and the last, it's not just that he's there at the beginning and then he's there at the end. Well, he's responsible for the beginning. All things were created through him. And he's responsible for the end, as everything is united together in him. And he's responsible for moving things from A to Z, from the beginning to the end. The Lord of history, the one who works all things together for good, the first and the last. The one who has the authority to make that happen, the authority to ensure that what he wants to come to pass does come to pass, that what he promises will come true. And because he's the living one who is alive forevermore, we can be confident that He's not going to die on the job partway through. What he starts, he will finish. The confidence we can have. The song, Que Sera, Sera, whatever will be, will be. It says the future's not ours to see. If we know Jesus, the first and the last, then that's not entirely true. Because he gives us some pretty massive plot spoilers about what the future holds. Normally, of course, we find plot spoilers very annoying. When you want to watch a film or read a book and someone ruins the ending for you, that's really irritating. And I saw a very angry letter in a newspaper this week of someone getting very annoyed that people had given spoilers for, of all things, the Queen's speech. They'd revealed what was going to be said, and they wanted the Queen's speech to be a surprise. Well, praise Jesus, at the end of history, as we know, it is not a surprise, that there's not going to be a surprise plot twist when he comes back, but they will happen just as he said. And he'll bring it to pass as he has said, because he is the first and the last and the living one and the one who is the Lord of history. And so when Jesus says that we will be like him because we will see him as he is, then we can be sure that we will one day be like him because we will see him as he is. When Jesus says that we will one day have glorious new resurrection bodies that we've heard about in 1 Corinthians 15, we can be certain of this, that we will one day have glorious new resurrection bodies. When Jesus tells us that one day there will be a new heavens and a new earth, we can be sure of this, that one day there will be new heavens and a new earth. And when Jesus says there will one day be an end to all death and mourning and crying and pain, we can be sure that there will. The future is ours to see in him. He reveals it to us. He tells us what's coming so we can keep trusting him and looking forward to what he will do, confident that he's the first and the last who can make it happen. These things that we don't deserve, we fall so far short of God's perfection. We don't deserve all these blessings from him. These blessings that come to us as a gift in our Lord Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose again so they could be ours in him. And now he gives us this hope. Look ahead to the uncertainty of the future. We remember Jesus is the first and the last. And so there are some things that we can say about the future. One, he'll be there. Two, he'll make it happen. And all of that means that we have something much better to say than just, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see, que sera, sera. That's the advice that the song says I should pass on to my children when they grow up and they ask me, what will I be? Will I be? I don't know the words of the song, but anyway. When they ask me about the future, I'm supposed to just say, que sera, sera. We have something better to say to the next generation and to the people around us, don't we? Something much better, not que sera, sera, but here is Christ, the first and the last. In him we can have confidence and hope and certainty. This knowledge of Christ means that we can be his witnesses in this world as we see his uniqueness, as we see his glory. We can be his witnesses. That's, again, if you read later on, Isaiah 41, 43, 44, 48, you'll see this word coming up again and again, this word of witnesses. We have it here in Isaiah 43, verse 10, you are my witnesses. And again in verse 12, you are my witnesses. As the people cling to the true and living Lord and not to idols, as they trust him, so they are ready to be his witnesses, to show the greatness of this Lord that they are trusting in. And so too for us. As we go through hard times and we trust this Christ who is the first and the last, as we cling to him and not to the other things we could look to, so we have something to say to others. Something to say to people around us about the confidence we have. And sometimes it's even the case that our trials and challenges are what make us better witnesses. Those times that really force us even to really cling to our Lord, to claim his promises, and to find him to be true and reliable. These times of challenge that don't necessarily make us more eloquent, don't necessarily make us better equipped to answer all the kind of questions that people might ask us, but that mean we have something to say about our experience of Jesus, who is the first and the last and the living one. And it could be that it's worthwhile every now and again, including perhaps this evening, that we reflect a bit on what our testimony is. I don't just mean the testimony of when we became Christians, although that's exciting in itself, but the testimony of how we've known Jesus in our lives in the last year. How we've put our confidence in the one who is the first and the last and the living one, and we found him to be true, and we found him to be reliable, and we found him to be dependable, and we found in him a confidence and a hope that we wouldn't find anywhere else. We reflect on what our testimony is as we've been through challenging times or as we've been through encouraging times. Our testimony of this Saviour, this Lord, who says, I am the first and the last. And maybe that's something that after during refreshments we can share with each other. Maybe that if you're here this evening, you don't have a testimony of what Jesus has done because you don't know this Jesus. You're still finding out about him. Then it'd be a good time to ask someone what their testimony of Jesus is, what they know of Jesus in their lives. Find out who this glorious Lord is, who is the first and the last, who gives us confidence for the future. The Bible offers us something much better to say than just, que sera, sera, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see, que sera, sera, offers us something much better. Christ, the first and the last, whatever he says will be, the future is his to see, Christ, the first and the last. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we praise you for those words of our Lord Jesus again, where he says that he is the first and the last and the living one. And we praise you for the confidence we can have looking forward into the future with all of the unknowns and uncertainties, to know that he will be with us and that we will bring all things together for good. And we ask that as we reflect on knowing him in our lives, that you would prepare us to be witnesses to him, to speak of him, to speak of him to each other, to encourage each other, to speak of him to those who don't yet know him, that more might come to put their trust in this one who is the first and the last and the living one, the one who died and is alive forevermore. In his name we pray. Amen.